two things that might be useful is we've got this Building Successful Kids program, mm-hmm. right, which is a component of our memberships for students. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that the student enrolls in this program as an add-on to their tuition. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like a NAPMA package for parents that goes straight to the student, that goes straight to the family, mm-hmm. right? It's a glossy newsletter for the kid, DVD, CD, that type of stuff, right? So it's all on like parenting skills and stuff that's real congruent with what we're teaching in the schools, right? Mm-hmm. But that goes straight to these people, right? And one of the visions we have for that is obviously through Mile High Karate. But we also have some external affiliates that don't have anything to do with martial arts that we just did the deal with this company called Easy School Supplies. Mm-hmm. They have 600 distribution centers around the U.S. And basically what their deal is they, end of the school year, the teacher gives you the list of all the stuff you're going to need next year and the Easy School Supply order form. You go down and check it off and tick it and fax it over to them, and they just ship you a box with all the stuff you're going to need, right? Mm. And the school gets 10% back, that sort of thing. But they didn't have a back end of their business. Mm-hmm. Their business was a transactional business. So we basically are building them the back end, Building Successful Kids, for all their customers. So every customer who orders, and they're doing, I think it was 35,000 visitors a month during mm-hmm. that 4-month thing, right? Something like that. Yeah, I think that's right. But so what they're going to do is they'll buy their school supplies. They'll land on the free trial for a Successful Kids page, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll do some kind of continuity model in that deal. But again, that goes straight to the family, and of course, the mom is the mm-hmm. decision maker, right? Mm-hmm. So there might be opportunity there too.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
But Mark Gravett would be a good one for you to chat with. I'll reach out to him and see what he's doing. Actually, we have a meeting with him in a couple of weeks, a couple of months actually. Who else has that list? You know who else has that list?
Who's that?
Scott Smith. Scott Smith's website is motivationtomove.com. Motivated to move? Motivated to move.
So what are you doing these days? Motivational type stuff?
It's a weight loss thing. It's either motivated. I think it's motivationtomove.com. And Scott's deal is he was in the infomercial business, right? He was doing a bunch of television production. He did the ATA infomercial. I think he did a bunch of stuff for NAPMA too, right?
We bought a bunch of his some of his TV commercials.
There you go. Hmm. But he's pretty good. He's pretty good at infomercials, and he did a bunch of them. And anyway, make a long story short, what he's found is that his core business was the online delivered fitness coaching business, right? And what he's found is that Mr. Oliver, we promised to plug him in. And what he's found is, hang on 10 seconds for me, sir. What he's found is that the bigger component of his business now is the motivational component, right? Because, you know, they need weight loss, but they know that they got to fix their head mm-hmm. more, you know, in order to do the thing, right? So anyway. Master Oliver.
Hey.
You made it. Hey, we're here.
Was I supposed to just call in some other phone number, or is this right? Or?
Yeah, this is going to have to do.
Okay.
This was the best traction I could get. So, all things being equal. Yeah, this would be great. But we've got Eric, and we've got Sam, and we've got Sam's wife, and we've got Mark here with us, and we're going to have to, you know, scold Ron and Joe. Ron, Joe, and what's his name? James. And the other guys have almost legitimate excuses. So we'll perhaps leave them without the scolding, but, you know.
Well, I can tell you in Joe's case, I talked to him a few days ago.
Oh, good.
He, fourth quarter last year, he was whining, petrified, scared, blaming the economy, and last month he hit an all-time record.
Okay.
that was for and you know, went from probably 7,000 or 8,000 a month to, you know, low 20s, and got very comfortable there. And after he was at the meeting in Quantum Leap, and at Quantum Leap, he made the commitment to me that he's tired of being a static small school, and he's going to make it a big school and get you know, get his act together. You and I had both commented when he was there last in Clearwater that it was really interesting because lots of great ideas we discussed about his school, and the reality was he was probably going to get around to it between 12 months and never.
Right.
In most cases, if you recall.
Yeah, we were pretty tough on him, actually. I think you may remember, but we beat him up pretty bad the second day. So
yeah.
I was hopeful that he would accelerate his progress, but you know.
Well, and at that time he was running a 20-some thousand a month school,
a little more,
making I'll say $60,000-$70,000 a year.
Yeah.
Running it was, you know, pretty decently tight on expenses, and more or less happy with that because a couple years earlier his income had been half of what it is, and we were trying to explain to him that, you know, worst case, he should be doing a $40,000 a month school, not a, you know, $22,000-$23,000 a month school. It just seemed like the level of implementation was moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, so we had spent most of the morning on, and we'll probably spend a little bit more time later on some real, like, specific website, online marketing strategies. I kind of went over, you know, our I guess, new model of what's working really well with the, you know, video squeeze page with the copy below the fold and the you know, sales letter with the narrated slideshow and all that stuff. So that's pretty attractive to these guys. And they're you know, because both are, you know, doing a lot of lead generation through online now. So that's all pretty useful stuff. Talked a little bit about social networking. Talked a little bit about social networking and stuff like that. And the main sort of thrust is going to be, you know, for the rest of the couple days is renewal systems and things like that. But you know, we've got you for an hour, so whatever, you know, 40 minutes, so whatever we you know, whatever you think we need to accomplish is useful.
Yeah. Well, and to leapfrog off of what you've been doing for the morning so far is, you know, a comment that I would make is that it's easy to get excited about new bells and whistles, and it's easy to get sophisticated with new technologies. But part of really running a high-performance school is having everything systematized, leaving nothing to chance, and also figuring out, from just purely a marketing standpoint, what it is that you're really going to do that you'll accelerate at, you'll excel at, that you'll implement. And Toby, as you and I know, is we've certainly seen schools who can generate 10, 12 enrollments a month or more from online sources and do it right. And you know, the two of us are as leading edge on all of that stuff as anybody I've met connected to the industry. On the other hand, we've also met schools that can generate 20 enrollments or 30 enrollments or 40 enrollments or more from birthday parties. And we also know schools that can generate that number of enrollments a month from just internal referral type of activities. And the key in all cases is the level of energy you put into it. The expected results is almost the most important thing. In other words, if you expect to get 5 people a month from it, you'll figure out a way to do 5 people a month. If you expect to get 20 people a month, you'll figure out a way to get 20 people a month. If you expect to do 40, you'll figure out a way to do 40. So birthday parties are a great idea, and they never really get anybody on their staff excited about it, and they do one party a month and get one or two enrollments a month. Others who decide that that's going to be a primary driver for them and get 30 a month. And a lot of this stuff is just about how much time, energy, focus, and effort you're willing to put in to get that particular mechanism to work.
So it's like that. It's like that. You made a comment. I don't know. I think maybe 4 years ago or something like that. And God, I wish I could remember exactly what was happening. But we were going to do some event in a daycare, and I can't remember exactly the whole confluence of events. But you said, you know, just keep in mind, you know, clarity of focus. Mm-hmm. Why are you going there? Right?
Yeah.
And just have like that crystal picture of the reason I'm going to do this thing is X. It's not to teach a great class. I mean, that's one component of it. It's not to have an exciting class for the 7-year-olds. I mean, that's a mandatory minimum. But the clarity of focus is, what's the damn purpose, right? Why am I going here? How many enrollments is this going to generate? What do I have to do to make that happen, right? That's been hugely like useful, you know, as a mindset.
Why it is you're doing it, and you know, the term we've been using recently is true believers, right? We end up with some of these guys who think they're a thing, you know, whether it be Krav Maga or MMA or Taekwondo or Shotokan, they think there's something special about their thing. But in looking at it, they do a whole bunch of stuff with no particular reason for why is they're doing it. And so when you're running a school, the business component is, there's really only three elements. Are you doing it to get more new students? Are you doing it to retain them longer? Or are you doing it in order to get a renewal or an upgrade? You know, enrollments, retention, renewals. So retention is ultimately extremely important, because it leads to people paying their bills, people doing an upgrade, people doing family add-ons, people bringing more referrals. From a business standpoint, retention is exceedingly important. But if you do an activity or an event or a process or a curriculum piece in your school, and it's not there because it improves retention, or that it facilitates renewals, or that it facilitates new enrollments, then it's in all likelihood pretty worthless. So you really have to hone it down to clarity of focus, and everything you do should be intentional. And it should be tied directly to one of those things. I mean, as you know, Toby, over 27 or 8 years now, you know, we've developed all kinds of fairly sophisticated, complicated curriculum implementation stuff that we've done. But it's all with the focus of, does it facilitate an upgrade, or does it facilitate retention? And some of it is because of upgrades, some of it is because of retention. And if it's not one or the other, then it's pretty worthless. And that doesn't mitigate student quality, because the better a student gets, the more likely you are to have retention, and the better the quality the students are out there, the more likely more people are going to want to be like them. But if it doesn't create enrollments, renewals, or retention, it's not something you should be doing.
Yeah. It's like, why complicate it, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's that complicated. Now there can be 583 different incremental steps along the way, but if you don't always kind of sit back, you know, I like metaphorically and literally sit down with a blank legal pad for 30 minutes a day and say, what am I doing to facilitate enrollments, and what am I doing to facilitate retention, and what am I doing to facilitate renewals? And you know, with the guys that you're talking to there, it's kind of like three different conversations I've had within Mile High Karate in the last week, and 7 or 8 that I've had with coaching clients in the last few weeks, is an awful lot of times it's, you do all the stuff to do, and when you get the blank legal pad and you sit down, you figure out you stopped doing more stuff that works than the stuff that you're doing right now. You know, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, one of our schools over the years, hit on something that worked really well for whatever, but let's say for enrollments, and it works so well we never did it again.
Well,
you know,
you know, the Robert Lewis certified instructor training / franchisee bubble up lead generation system. Here's the backstory, right? Is that, you know, right now to grow the franchise, we're doing mostly conversions, right? So we're going out to current martial arts school operators, and they're either keeping their style the same and overlaying all the Malik Reddy business systems and character systems, or they're overlaying the Malik Reddy character and business systems and the curriculum, right? One or the other, they can do either. But what's funny is what we all believe will be the long term biggest growth for the franchise after we get to a certain level is internal development. Right, the parents that are coming up through this and the students, you know, and just like instructors, you know, same thing, just at a higher level. So Master Lewis out in Denver had a fantastically successful system that he called a certified instructor training program, where he brought a bunch of family members, parents, into the school as sort of like a high level college level curriculum syllabus experience, right? Mm-hmm. That they went through all these, you know, goal setting and attainment processes, and a really robust, really cool thing, right? How many weeks was it? Yeah, anyway, it was a number of weeks. So let's say 4 weeks or 5 weeks or 6 weeks long or something like that, and bubbled up five franchisees from it, right? Three in one swipe and two extended, right? So that's, you know, and you know, let's not forget that this is all about making a great thing for everybody, right? But that's 30,000, 30,000, 30,000, 30,000, 30,000. Right, at minimum. So 3, 6, 9, 12, 15. So $150,000 in initial revenue. It worked so well that time that he's never done it since.
Wow.
So you go like.
I mean, I don't know if it's on my end or your end, but I can't hear really anything you're saying. We got a really wacky connection.
Okay, yeah, we had some wind noise on your side, but we can hear you just fine. So I recanted the story, and everybody's just as you know. Just as in shock as we are. Yeah, you probably can't hear us.
Well, good. Well, have there been any specific questions or anything that I can help with?
Anything specific that you can accomplish? Thoughts, questions, comments?
That's okay.
We're shy.
Well, let me ask this first. How you doing, Stephen? This is Samuel from Maryland. Just going back for a second when you were talking about the three modules, would it be feasible to say that under certain circumstances that it would be okay to do certain events, if for nothing else, brand recognition and or working your way into a school system or working your way into someone else's or another organization per se.
Let me paraphrase what you just said, see if I heard it right. Again, I'm getting like is it okay to do certain things that are designed just to build brand recognition or just to get you into organizations for later purposes? Is that what you said?
Right, because what's happening with us is a lot of times we, you know, like we're doing a mentoring program at a elementary school now, and we're here to find out how to, you know, better convert the leads there, but we don't get leads. But at the same time, we have a school that says to parents when they come in, you need to go to Full Circle. So we are getting... go ahead.
Teach all the PE teachers you know, free one-year certificate for all the PE teachers to come in and take lessons absolutely for free. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not directly generating leads. However, it certainly is creating an influencer to be positively predisposed to recommending us when they have a child with ADD or when they have a family that has some special need of some sort. So is it okay to do that type of stuff? Well, of course. And all of that having been said, it is also okay to spend a portion of your time on things that are purely community service, purely designed to be non-self-serving, designed to be community outreach or charitable activity or volunteer activity. And frankly, the more often you do things like that with no obvious or expected immediate return, the better you develop the reputation in the community. An example, and I'll attribute this one to Nick Okinas, but one of the comments he made one time, and I had several very close friends running very high-performance schools, all guys that you would know, within several months of each other have horrible sexual scandals happen in their school. One had back-to-back two different instructors who were accused of and I think convicted of statutory rape, that both of them hit the newspapers, and you know, nobody was paying attention to the kids, and they were paying attention to the blank instructor at X martial arts school. And Nick's comment about that was, the deeper your roots in the community of doing selfless activity, the more of a pass you get on things like that is out of character with what people's expectations of what you are is. And no matter how sensitive you are to that, no matter how much you do background checks on people, no matter how much you have the policy manual in place and the training in place, any one of us can get hit with something like that. You can get hit with the protector of the consumers who has the irate student who gets on the air on TV or radio, or you can have the sexual scandal that hits the newspapers or the internet or whatever, and 99 times out of 100 is not anything that you did, and at least half the time, nothing you could have prevented if you had been completely aware of and focused on that thing. So it is very useful to be out in the community doing selfless activity, if for no other reason than your enlightened self-interest is that you're building a reputation in the community that far outweighs anything that might happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully that answers the question.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we have a balance with it, but we just want to make sure that we're not outside of the scope of, like what you're saying, enrollment, retention, renewal.
Yeah. Well, and again, if the more successful you make your school, the more time you have available to do things with no immediate expected payback. And so, if somebody is running a school, and let's say they're grossing $15,000 a month, and their expenses are $12,000 a month, and they're making $30,000 a year, well, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense. Or worst case, they're grossing $15,000 a month, and their expenses are $18,000, and they're $3,000 a month underwater. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody in that status has to be spending all of their time on things that are going to have immediate or near immediate payback.
Right.
Because, in the midst of crisis or the expense of not having abundance, you can't spend an awful lot of time being selfless. On the other hand, the advantage that I think we all share is in having a situation of abundance and having an awareness how to attract that. And so now if you're netting $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 a month, you can put more time and effort into things that may come back to you or may not come back to you in 5 or 10 years, as opposed to in 5 or 10 minutes.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's okay to want to save the world, but let's start with the ones who can pay us well first.
Right.
Well, no, I mean really, and it might sound crass, but really it's not, because I mean you can never get to the other ones if you start with the bottom ones first.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Because I mean, all your time is dominated by that.
Well,
Well, right, yeah. Yeah, Covey, that's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
I mean, you can have the most glorious mission statement in the world, but if you're not going to last for 90 days, it doesn't make any difference. So you do have to balance those two things out. Now, that having been said, is I do see a lot of schools running around doing things that they say is about developing image or reputation or word of mouth in the community, but at the very same activity, there are activities that they could do that would generate
yeah.
students. So let's say you go to a huge fair and you get 3 hours of stage time. And so they have a big stage and there's 3,000 people are watching and you put together your best kids and you have the demoed end, all demos, and it's extremely impressive. Well, maybe that develops word of mouth reputation, but it doesn't develop enrollments.
Right.
Now you take that same environment and instead of doing an hour demonstration, you do a little 5-minute demonstration and invite all the kids to come up on stage and do a first intro. And on the way up to the stage, you get their name, email address, their phone number, their mailing address. And on the way down, you get a certificate for the introductory class and somebody is scheduling an appointment. Now you took the same opportunity that goes from exposure to a participant activity for people who are at the event and also captures a lead. So you do have to look at all of those things that you do and make sure you're not fooling yourself into thinking, well, we went to this fair, got stage time, and by the way, everybody came to the front door, got our flyer. Well, so what? You know, but at the next level, I got them all to participate in a class. We got to talk to a huge percentage of them one-on-one. We got names, addresses, and phone numbers of people who raised their hand. We got the event, you know, sponsored to give us names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the families who showed up, who even the ones who didn't raise their hand. And then we mailed to them 28 times. I mean, then you want to look at every activity you're doing like that and make sure that it's not just exposure if you can move it to the next level, the next level, the next level.
You know, one of the things, Mr. Robert, you know, we may or may not have had this conversation, but I'm sure it's in line with what you would expect anyway. But, you know, Bob and Brian and Steve and Rob, all the guys at the office who talk to school owners in a sales role, right? Almost always, like almost always, 99.999%, we always ask them what their most successful, most robust marketing activity is. Like what generates the most students for them. And almost always, if they say, oh, just word of mouth, we know they're a great prospect for us because they have no clue,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, you know what I mean? Now, some schools that are very successful, they know referral is a huge generator, and the reason referral is such a big lead generator is because I do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D to generate referrals on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the conversation I'm describing. The conversation I'm describing is a school owner that says, oh, you know, just people just walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can really help you,
right?
right? Because right. there's a whole universe that you haven't explored here yet
right.
that can, you know, double, triple your school pretty quickly here, you know?
Well, and I will tell you, the those recordings that we have with Jay Abraham,
yeah.
it was one of the things that and again, I've listened to everything I could ever get my hands on of Jay's, and I'll say that 90% of them, you know, it's great theory, but no implementation, but the you know, the recordings he did with NAVNA were very, 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 very good. And one of the things that he says in that is exactly what you just said, is he says, you know, we talked to a whole bunch of schools prior to this call, and they all say that word of mouth is their best deal. And every time I ask them, what are your 10 mechanisms that you use to develop, enhance, and create consistent referrals from existing clientele, none of them had an answer. And so I mean, you're exactly right. That's what you were saying, is that it's all about systematizing, when possible, automating, but it's all about systematizing, having the processes in place to get those pieces to happen. And I would totally agree that referrals should be, you know, half or more of anybody's traffic that they get in the school, except it doesn't happen by accident, and it doesn't happen purely by having happy students. I mean, having happy students may be a base level criteria for anything else to work, but just because a student is happy doesn't mean they're going to bring their friends or know how to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to have a systematized mechanism in place to have all of those things happen, and everyone we've seen know, I mean, it's nice to have a guest pass, and it's nice for every new student to get five or six of them. But ultimately, those mostly go in mom's purse, or they, you know, they end up in the glove box in the car on the way out the door, and they never think about them again.
You know, the there's been one kind of kind of a common question. Both Eric and Sam kind of had this a similar thing, and we talked about some strategies earlier. But you know, what would you say about converting people from community outreach activities and or these types of school type things in into paying students? What, you know, where would you start with that, and where would that go?
Well,
just my note here I just made was you know, we should address the right time argument in the copy as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's a really good point.
Because
you've got benefit and then you've got timing.
You know, the last I knew, the person who had done the most enrollments on a consistent basis for birthday parties that I had ever encountered was Steve Doyen up in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suburban Hudson Valley, you know, outside of New York City. And he literally was doing, you know, 40 or 50 enrollments a month that were attributed to birthday parties. But there was an interesting statistic when we looked at it with him, is the vast majority of the enrollments were 3 to 6 months after they had attended the birthday party. So, you know, I mean, you could say that he had a very sophisticated, and the stuff that he mailed, by the way, was not all that good. for directly. Well, he actually did it. And organizations that he'd been trying to get into for 2 or 3 years, suddenly he was in 72 hours.
Yeah.
And leads are the same way. See, if I have 30 leads, and I could expect through Herculean follow-up to get 3 of them enrolled, and if those 3 people that I enroll are each worth, let's say, $4,000 each, then I've got $12,000 in potential revenue. So now the question is how much money would I be willing to spend in order to get them? So if I'd be willing to spend of that $12,000 revenue, $1,200, that means on those 30 leads I could spend $40 each to follow up. And I've got to tell you, even those who are most sophisticated, well, hell, Toby, you and I, we don't come anywhere near that. But that's ultimately where you maximize it. So if you could spend $40 to follow up on each lead, you could send them a DVD a quarter for 3 years. You could send them a big FedEx package for back to school. You could send them a priority mail envelope for New Year's to get them back in. You could certainly invite them to webinars and teleconferences and to online video and all kinds of stuff like that every week. I mean, there's an amazing amount of follow-up that you can do, and frankly, an amazing amount of follow-up you should do if that's what the numbers would be. Does that all make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like basically the key is in the follow-up, basically.
It's
now,
And I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, and all of us are guilty. You know, no matter how much you're aware of it, you know, Rob and I just realized we have 1,200 people who have raised their hands who are interested in the franchise. And of those 1,200 people who have raised up and, you know, raised their hand, they'd all been followed up twice. So, you know, I mean, it's the same thing. And, you know, in our case, you just add a couple zeros to the number. And, you know, why haven't we followed up with them 82 times? Or why is it the 15 times that they have been followed up only been through email, of which 90% of it never got to them to begin with, and 90% of that got deleted before they opened it.
I know the answer.
Wow.
So anything else I can help you with? I'm going to have to run here before long, but I am open later in the day or tomorrow if it can be helpful to if you want, just call me if there's anything specifically that I can give an input on.
And I think that was pretty useful. Any other thoughts, like specific conversion issues on that deal or something? Or?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. Thank you.
No, I think we're good. No, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. I can, I think we'll do a couple. I think we'll do, you know, 2-3 more hours today on these topics, and then move on to what's next tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything specific that comes up,
sure.
Feel free to just call me.
Sure.
And if I'm not immediately available, I'll call you back or to set a time tomorrow if that's helpful.
Sure, no trouble. And by the way, just so you know real quick, I've got the Alpine Telemarketers going through the member list to get people and the Nevada, California, Arizona, Utah list to get people to that session at the Super Show.
Oh, okay, good.
We hadn't talked about it, but Bob and I talked about it earlier this afternoon. I said, duh. Okay.
You know, per mail piece that goes out, it's probably going to cost maybe $12 a piece to go out to entice people to come to that event. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to be cheap about it. We could have done a postcard for 50 cents a piece, but it wouldn't have had nearly the same impact.
Yeah.
And again, as far as the branding deal is, you know, even the ones that don't show up for our session that we're doing one thing or another, you know, they're going to be very aware of what's going on. So the third or fourth or fifth or eighth time we hit them, they're perhaps responsive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, sounds great.
To, plug me in whenever you need.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Of course it turned us off. Okay, well, it worked. Well, good, okay. I hope that was useful. I like this one.
Toby?
Mm-hmm.
What is paid email? You mentioned that earlier. I think that was a phrase you used.
Well, it's paid delivery. It's guaranteed delivery. It's called habeas certification. It's like it's called something else actually. It used to be called habeas. Now it's called can't remember. But basically, it's certified delivery. It's the company that we send the email batches through works with all the major ISPs, all the major ISPs, mm-hmm. and delivers our mail past all the spam blockers directly into the inbox. So it's not cheap, but it's like probably within the next, I'd say, 24 months, it's all going to be paid email delivery. And there might be some free versions out there and stuff like that, but I mean, what we're seeing right now is such a sort of like a mathematical decline in delivery rates, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, if I do the cold list, the cold NATMA list,
mm-hmm.
it's 24,000 email addresses. 14,000 will actually hit an email box. Of the 14,000 that actually hit an email box, that could be spam, that could be whatever, right? Of the 14,000 that hit the email box, I'll probably get 2,500 to 3,000 of them open,
yeah.
Right? But if we, when we use that habeas certification and stuff like that, the numbers on the open rates triple or so.
Okay.
Because we know that they get past the spam blockers. If you're doing confirmed opt-in,